So onwards to question number four. You are called Mr. Goodvertising. Tell us how that came to being. So calling yourself anything like that and coming up with a monocle like that isn't really a Danish thing. And it kind of happened because I was on a flight, I think Copenhagen, New York, or Copenhagen, LA, or something like that. I was sitting next to this guy and we started chatting on the airplane, and it happened to be so that the guy was a writer as well, and start talking, and then I mean he was like sort of a coaching guy, and I think he called himself, you know, the lion coach or the savannah coach or something like that, because a lot of the teachings in his coaching came from how the animals in the savannah was, you know, like inspired by the animals of the savannah, something like that. So he turned to me and he said, "So you obviously, what are people calling you?" And I was like, "I guess they call me Thomas. I mean, that's my name." And he looked at me, "Nah, you know, what is the book called?" And then I was like, "It's called Goodvertising." And then he said, "Oh, but then you're Mr. Goodvertising." And that was kind of the first time that happened. And then, weirdly enough, some conferences later, people actually started presenting me as Mr. Goodvertising. So really, really quite a coincidence. So fifth question, a post-purpose world, how do you define it? I mean, obviously, it is a bit of a provocation saying that, you know, a lot of brands still haven't got their heads around what purpose is today. But I really do see quite a dramatic change from my first book, Goodvertising, to what is happening today in terms of how the market has evolved, in the sense that, you know, remember a decade ago, Goodvertising, there wasn't a lot of brands that was kind of positioning themselves around the societal good they were doing. And even though I had access to the K&A archive and DNAD, it was actually difficult to find those great cases of brands really standing up for societal or environmental change. But today it does really seem like, you know, excuse the analogy, but kind of going into, it's almost like the supermarket have turned into heaven, because when you walk into the supermarket, every brand is trying to scream, you know, "We care, you know, we're the Mother Teresa's of this world, we're the Gandhi's of this world." So when every brand is positioning themselves on having that higher purpose, you know, does that really become a strong positioning? Does that really, you know, does that really make the brand stand out? And so in the book, I describe, you know, how obviously moving from functional benefits to emotional benefits to societal benefits, which was where my book Goodvertising stopped, to where we're heading right now, which has been quite clear during the pandemic, the fact that people are no longer buying what you make or why you make it, the values behind it, but essentially, what is it you can do for them? Who can you help them become? So in a post-purpose world, it's really about the transformational difference, or as I call it, a transformational promise, which is, for me, a completely different way of looking at purpose, because it is essentially a promise from the brand to people about a change that brand can enable in that person's life. So that's probably how I would say we are seeing a post-purpose world evolving. So I'll go into the next question here. CSR once upon a time used to be an obligation, but now it has become a strategic compulsion for brands. Would you agree with this? Yes, most certainly. I mean, CSR, or how I like to call it, sustainability, is really a must today. I mean, especially in some regions of the world, obviously the European Union have really strong framework, strong legislation put in place. But even if you look to the UN, a lot of the work they've done with UN Global Compact and some of the strategic work they're doing around the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, you know, you cannot run a company today without taking strategic sustainability considerations in to you know, your decision making. And I mean, even if you look to what's happening in the supermarket aisles, how people are buying, to all the way up to how the investment community today are working. I mean, people are looking at ESG factors, environmental, social, and governance factors, when deciding what companies to invest in, what companies not to invest in. And in my point of view, it really does make sense in that if you are an investor, you want to make sure that the company you invest in have taken the right long-term strategic considerations. And of those long-term strategic considerations, sustainability is definitely up there. So I agree very much with that statement. And I'll move into another voice file, just not to make this too heavy.